Well, it's a beach.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stone Cold Shots, the wrestling podcast where the shots are cold and the takes are hot. We got a little bonus episode shotgun here for you. Before we get into what we're talking about today, why don't you guys tell me, tell the people, tell the Stone Cold Shots universe your name and your favorite sitcom?
Well, it's the internet, darling. Josh Felix Breyer in the house tonight. Obviously, I'm the internet darling, Josh Felix Breyer. My favorite sitcom of all time has to be Full House.
Ooh.
I feel like that's the best sitcom of all time, right?
Who knows? I don't know. I never watched Full House.
Or is it Home Improvement? It's one of the two.
My name is Lauren. I'm a regular darling. I wasn't allowed to watch TV when I was younger, So my exposure to sitcoms was very much like later in life. So I feel like I have a very skewed concept, but probably like my favorite for the longest time was Friends, but now that I'm a bit older, I find that kind of annoying. So I'm gonna say Seinfeld right now because I really, really loved that show. Although That show really stresses me out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe a sitcom shouldn't be stressful.
I feel is more like a household with like a laugh track and like all that stuff. Like it's not like a Seinfeld.
Oh.
Office. Like I feel like a sitcom, like a true sitcom, is kind of that cheesy kind of premise, right?
Would Frasier count?
Frasier's a household. There's a laugh track.
Yeah, I don't know. Like just like in my head, the genuine sitcom is more like the, I don't know, like the Full House kind of thing, right?
Where it's you're Modern Family. You're All in the Family. Another show with family in the title.
I legitimately have never seen any of those shows. Like I didn't watch TV in that age. So
because there's way better ones than the ones I named, if that's the case.
Well, I'm nobody's darling, your heel host, Campbell Falconer. I make the questions that everybody hates. I'd have to say my favorite sitcom of all time, if we're going by Josh's household laugh track, cheesy, Boy Meets World.
Don't you have Malcolm in the Middle on your computer?
I do really like Malcolm in the Middle as well. But Boy Meets World, you got that show grew with me. I was like the perfect age range when I was a kid to be like basically entering high school at the same time that Corey Matthews entered high school. Getting beat up by Vader's son at the same time that Corey Matthews got beat up by Vader's son. It grows with you. And Vader is in it.
Is that the one with the kid who was a spy?
No.
Okay.
What?
No, like, the actor also was a spy in a film. Cody Banks.
No, that's Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, okay.
That's Frankie Muniz.
I don't know.
I don't think Ben Savage has ever been a spy. Anyway.
Yet.
We're still in the midst. If you're listening to this from the future, way down the line, when this is all sorted out, you are listening to our COVID isolation time episodes where we're just binging everything and anything wrestling related. And so, of course, we had to watch Netflix's The Big Show.
Time commitment that I've ever had for an episode of this fucking pod, and it's just a shotgun.
Yeah, like quite excruciating. Yeah,
it was. I don't think this was what, 8 20-minute episodes is roughly.
It's 29. I looked during the first episode.
Yeah,
it was 29 minutes the first episode. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding. But to the show's credit, it got better as it went along.
I agree. We were talking a little bit before recording that you watched this in the morning, Josh. How was that? Because Campbell and I watched it in the evening, and we got like fucking hammered while we got
the most drunk that I have been since social isolation started.
Me too. That was my first hangover.
Yeah.
Can I tell you? I started having a beer or two in the morning when I started watching this. I was like, I have to watch 8 episodes before we start recording tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really can't sit through this in the current state that I am.
Yeah. Especially, like, I feel like episode 1 hits you, like, really hard. It's really, really bad, episode 1.
Bad. It's like, but, like, as far as, like, the family sitcom, I feel like, in comparison to other family sitcoms, it's about on par, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not good. Like, but it's about on par with every other family sitcom I've seen.
It's just, I think the thing is that, like, it was hard to understand who this was for. Like,
good, yes.
It very much had, like, the writing and the acting of, like, a children's Disney Channel.
Like, Hannah Montana-ass.
Yeah, like, I kept, the one that, like, my sister and I always watched when I was a kid was The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Mm.
And, like, a lot of this, like, I was kind of drawing parallels to that, where this is just, like, really poorly written and poorly acted, but it's also starring, like, a 90s professional wrestler with a bunch of references to other 90s professional wrestlers and cameos with other 90s professional, and it's like, who, what child... Like, I don't understand what kid now would be like, huh, that joke about braiding Mick Foley's hair was funny.
Yeah, or he references Sting and stuff, yeah.
Maybe we'll get the sweet light of life of Zack Ryder and Cody Rhodes.
Oh! I don't really know how we're going to break down, like, an entire season of TV in our normal format. Like, are we going to treat each episode like a match in the pay-per-view that is... The Big Show.
Holy shit. I am not giving bald head ratings to these fucking
episodes. What?
It's a shotgun. We never give bald head ratings on shotguns.
Fair enough. Well, let's just start talking about this and see where it gets us. So we start out, like, let's break down our cast, right, of our sort of the premise of the show. We have The Big Show.
Who is only referred to as The Big Show.
Yeah, they never refer to him as Paul. His wife calls him Show.
There was once, I think maybe in episode 3,
okay,
that the wife says Paul.
Really?
Yeah. I noticed that this morning, so okay. Shame on you guys.
Yeah, I guess we were too trash by that point.
Yeah, too drunk by episode 3. We have the wife, Cassie Show, who is, I feel like she's just like the... Her defining feature is that she's a wife on a sitcom.
Yeah. I wrote
she's
down.
Very sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Like, that's one of her only personality traits is that she's sarcastic. And, like, for the first several episodes, she has zero character. They start to build her up later, which is good. But yeah. I was so disappointed in her for the first half of the show.
She's shout out to that actress because she's just trying her fucking hardest to, like, pull this up.
Yeah, of all of them, she is probably the best actress. Yeah. And she's just working her ass off to elevate this shit.
Yeah.
I feel like the youngest daughter was the best actress.
I also love her. She's great.
The youngest daughter, JJ, who I feel like is... You want to talk about Full House. I feel like the main family was just like people plucked from other sitcoms. And I think she was very much like... She might as well have been saying, "You got it, dude." Like, she was a very Mary-Kate and Ashley on Full House kind of vibe there. But she was really funny. I thought she did like a pretty decent job for like a kid actor.
Yeah. She delivered her lines. Like, she was aware of what type of show she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, she has an easier role because her character is, like, over the top and, like, kind of insane.
And she was aware of what type of show she was in because she is at an age where those are the only types of shows that she's allowed to watch.
So she gets to ham it up, whereas, like, the oldest sister has to be, like, a genuine teen going through teen stuff. So she has to deliver all of her lines very seriously. And that sucks. Like,
so we have... Yeah. Lola, the oldest daughter, who is from The Big Show's first marriage, has just moved to Tampa from Minnesota to live with The Big Show and his family.
She's feeling all kinds of ways about living with The Big Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The change in life from Minnesota to Florida, like anybody would.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. She's only 15. God.
She really, really,
yeah,
really, really wants to play hockey for specifically one episode and then never mentions it again.
But she has a Minnesota Wild poster in the background.
And a Minnesota Wild hat, which is like,
yeah.
God, could you pick a shittier nothing hockey team? And then we have the middlest daughter, Mandy. Mandy in the middle.
Yeah, Mandy is 11 years old, we assume, if grade 6 is the same in the States.
Yeah.
Age-wise. Yeah.
And her defining trait is that she is the smart daughter from Modern Family.
And I also want to say they're all terrible workers.
Yeah, zero work rate. I have never done anything in Japan. Yeah, it was weird how much the middle daughter kept, like, one, I noticed, like, in the early episodes of this show, like, they like doing a lot of, like, forward-thinking, progressive, like, she talks about, like, Leslie Knope and Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she always refers to them as, like, RBG and AOC. And then also in the first episode, she says that she has MSS, which is middle sister syndrome.
Right.
And the big show, when talking about putting your face on a bench as an ad, says that it's just ADB, all day butts. So clearly the writing room in the first episode was very acronym heavy.
Right. We can talk about this more later, but I actually really appreciated how forward thinking or how progressive this show was for all, like, it is a largely female cast except for the big show, and I appreciate where they go with that with the girls.
It would have been so easy to do, like, kind of like a Kevin James, like King of Queens, like, I'm just a man and I just want to do manly things, but my house is all women, and yeah. Like that is that in none of these like 8 episodes is that a plot point?
No, yeah, you know? He's never resentful.
Like, I don't know, like, how we're gonna do this format for this episode, but there's an episode where the Big Show's daughters are starting to date people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, Big Show is totally okay with it. And then Steve Urkel, his best friend at the gym, totally gets him all riled up about it. And he's like, yeah, maybe it's going to be all boyfriends running around here. But Big Show quickly turns it around and then starts dating the daughter's boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
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 And
Greg Turbo, the best named character on this show.
Yeah.
I also like, I guess we're just fucking in the shit now. Charlie's everywhere. Terry, the gym owner, was my favorite character on this show, as played by, Jaleel White. Yep. Is that Steve Urkel? Yeah. He was delightful. I thought he was a great zany best friend character for the Big Show to have.
Totally, he was hilarious. But in the episode where the girl, where Lola's dating and Sho is like falling in love with her partner,
Greg Turbo,
yeah, I really appreciated that, like they could have very easily, like, the storyline for that episode was that she was pissed not at Greg Turbo but more so at her dad, and she was like, I don't want to date this dude if he doesn't care about me enough. And like, if this had been handled differently, like, I feel like they could have made her way more of a like hoey character and like way more stupid and been like, why doesn't he like me? But she was very strong and was just like, no, fuck this guy, like, I like you basically ruined this, but that's fine, like, I'll, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't need this dude if he doesn't
real
need me.
Real situation that you would have with the Big Show as your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have a wrestling friend, like, boyfriend kind of character,
mm-hmm.
that's, like, enamored with the fact that your dad is the Big Show.
Yeah.
It
and
is.
Then, like, the Big Show is like, oh, he's totally into me, and, like, yada, yada, yada. It just was well played out. Like, it felt like how it actually would go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, it's funny how much, like, over the course of the show that, like, everywhere the Big Show goes, like, everybody is a huge WWE fan. It's like, oh my god, you're the Big Show. Like,
yeah.
you know, there's the one guy at the airport who's like, you're that wrestling guy, John Cena.
Yeah, that was like, great.
It was like a pretty good joke.
Oh, that was the best part, because that's the part where the Big Show goes like, do I look like I wake up like twice, like in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. to like moisturize?
Yeah.
It was like a great.
We got to talk about the cruise episode. I hope the cruise episode is on your list of things to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Every episode's on our list of things to talk about.
I kind of just took notes like episode by episode. So like maybe we want to go through that way and just kind of do rapid fire like thoughts on that and see how it goes.
Let's do it.
So we'll start from the beginning, but we have kind of already touched on one of the episodes. So maybe we'll skip around here a little bit, but we have episode one of Lola moves to Tampa and wants to join the girls' hockey team. Mandy has a protest sit-in in her room because she doesn't want to give up her room to Lola.
Yeah. But she doesn't resent Lola for that. She resents her parents for that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. This was, honestly, this is the most hockey that I've watched since the NHL got canceled in March. And like, this really hit a nice spot for me. They introduced, like, I feel like they had, like, this weird rotating cast of, like, almost one-off adult characters, but not quite one-off adult characters.
Yeah.
So we get introduced to, like, the short, like, emasculated gym teacher at their school.
Yeah.
The Big Show hangs up on the wall after a dispute with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And breaks his nose?
No, maybe? No, didn't he get hit in the nose by the daughters?
Okay.
No, wait.
There's a point. He has like a tape on his nose, and then he gets hit by the daughter, and he says, "Oh, my nose just healed from when your dad broke it." I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens there.
The ending of the show is very sweet, mm-hmm. where the Big Show comes out into the ice after the Big Show convinces the coach to let the daughter play with the boys, mm-hmm. and then he's like, "Check me." And then the daughter runs into the Big Show, checks the Big Show, and everybody loses their mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very sweet ending to the episode.
Yeah.
This episode was also very boring, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't a great one, but he does take a good bump, and yeah.
I give it 5 bald heads.
He sells it like a champ. Yeah.
Yeah. I started writing a list of bad jokes, but abandoned that about 30 seconds into the episode. Thought it would be easier to write a list of good jokes. So my good jokes for this episode were the aforementioned John Cena joke, and when Lola and the Big Show are bonding, and she says, "Are you going to cry?" And he says, "No, yes, but later in the bath." That got a good chuckle out of me. That was my good joke for the episode.
That is funny. All
right.
So episode two is career day.
Yeah.
And JJ's class.
Yeah.
So Big Show gets like his big huge wrestler entrance to like a bunch of 8-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun. And I think he just shits on all the other teachers. All the other parents, sorry. And
It's like all the kids are like, well, you know, like this person's dad is doing this. This person's stepdad is doing this. Side note, there was a lot of step-parent humor in this show.
Mm-hmm.
They were making a lot of jokes about, like, oh, what did he say? Yeah, this was my good joke for episode two, was when they reference one of the kids' stepdads, and he says, still just a boyfriend, but here's hoping.
Yeah.
And then the Big Show has an existential crisis because he doesn't have a job.
Yeah, he doesn't actually do anything.
He's just
now
a retired wrestler. So I think he starts, like interning for Cassie Show's, real estate company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's trying to sell this haunted house,
which is like a big arc for the whole season.
Yeah. And he tries to help her sell it or show it. And it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
We get introduced to like the heel of the series, Bennett.
He's a like one of the better characters, I think.
I think he's also a guy who knows what show he's in.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wasn't, I don't know, fucking. Big Show
has nothing to do, and so he starts helping his wife try to sell this house.
Mm-hmm.
And through the course of trying to sell this house, he rips off the banister. He hits off the chandelier off the ceiling.
Yep.
And then, like, even when trying to sell muffins to the people that are coming in looking at the place, he can't even do that right.
Yeah.
This guy's an oaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
We got the B story here is that the Lola and Mandy are sharing a room now.
This was a good storyline.
Yeah, but like Lauren, you pointed out some really good internal logic that like, how does the Big Show not have a house with a spare room in it, or like a basement, or like a
study that they could make? Like, why?
Yeah, it's absolutely ludicrous.
It's like a 3-bedroom house, right? The Big Show has a 3-bedroom house.
You're telling me this guy with an ironclad contract.
And, like, it's like...
I don't mean to judge, but I think the Big Show can afford more than a 3-bedroom house.
Yeah, man. Like, Ty Burrell on Modern Family is a real estate agent, and he can afford a different room for all of his kids. You know? Why can Cassie Show not afford a big enough house, even with the Big Show's Legends contract to the WWE? This is ridiculous.
Yeah. But Lola and Mandy start trying to share a room because Lola can't stand it in JJ's room.
Correct.
The younger daughter. So the middle and oldest daughters start trying to share a room.
And one of them's neat and one of them's messy. What are we going to do?
We can skip over all of this conflict because it's like dumb. But the best part is that the Big Show like proposes that they have a contract signing.
That was great.
To resolve their issues of like bedroom etiquette. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd be satisfied if somebody wasn't powerbombed through one of the tables. And I thought that was a pretty solid joke.
Yep. Yeah. I didn't write that one down, but that one does. I do remember that one. Episode 3 was our student election.
Yeah, this is also a huge overarching storyline.
Yeah.
So Mandy is going for student election. Unclear. She said like lower school
president.
Yeah. So we established that she is in grade 6 and she's 11 years old. So I guess in the States, they mix middle and high school together. So she's going for like middle school president or some shit.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
The big story is that she's running against Taylor Swift. Not the pop star Taylor Swift, but a student in her class who is coincidentally named Taylor Swift.
A boy.
A joke that they get a lot of mileage out of.
So much mileage.
Like, they, this is, again, like you said, Lauren, this is like an overarching plot for sort of the rest of the season. And they make a joke about that where the Big Show is like, Taylor Swift goes to your school at least twice an episode for like the rest
honestly,
of the show.
Big Show reacts to this at least every episode for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be way funnier if it was like JJ reacting to it, I think. I don't know. I'm trying to punch up this script and like, I'm like.
Give him the book.
It makes sense that the Big Show would react. And like, that's the funny joke is because he's a huge giant man. So it's funny that he would be excited about Taylor Swift at all. But you can't do it more than once. Yeah. In general.
Like, there was a decent bit like a few episodes later. I can't remember what the context was because I think I was like zoning out or just fucking hammered at this point. But they made a joke about like another kid in her class being named like Kale Dawson Perry, and he goes by KD.
Yeah.
So his name is KD Perry.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And then it's like that was like, if they had done sort of a rule of threes thing, where if they had like picked one more like pop starlet's name and given it to another boy in her class, and like instead of just doing the Taylor Swift thing for like 5 episodes running,
that's a good call.
Yeah. The B plot here is that Lola and Cassie go to a concert at the weirdest bar I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And want to get tattoos together.
Well, yeah. Like,
also, how bad was that tattoo parlor?
Yeah.
The guy didn't have any stencils.
The tattoo artist didn't have any tattoos. That's a big. It's a big kind of no-no.
He also, like, doesn't take any information from them before he tattoos them. Like, there's no signing of anything.
Yeah.
This clearly.
And he was just gonna like freehand that heart on Cassie's arm, right?
Yeah. He was gonna freehand
after seeing a picture for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Huge plot hole. It was huge plot.
But this is totally like the Disney Channel sitcom understanding of like what getting a tattoo is.
Yeah.
Right?
It's definitely like a gross bald man who just like immediately works on you with mm-hmm. zero context. Like
all right. Well, first of all, let's not talk about weird, gross bald men. But also, Big Show has two big tattoos on his arms.
And yeah.
Great.
Campbell brought that up, too.
It's like, weird how against tattoos he is for a guy who has, like, almost a tattoo big enough that it's almost a half sleeve.
Also, I will reiterate this. I said this at the time. You still don't want your 15-year-old daughter getting one?
Yeah.
Probably. And
definitely not the logo of a hologram pop singer.
Yeah, that was actually such a random insertion into this like sitcom of like yeah. they came up with this whole concept for like a hologram flower pop singer who like, and they wrote like half a song for her. It was mm-hmm. so, I was like, is this gonna be like a lasting thing? I couldn't believe how much effort they put into it, and I was actually yeah. like trying to figure out, I was in my mind, I was like, maybe it's like a real singer and they're trying to plug her.
I couldn't believe...
I wanted a Nine Inch Nails tattoo when I was 16 years old.
I cannot get over how weird the, like, setup for that concert was. Like, that was, like, no one in the writer's room has ever been to a concert, and someone had to describe what a concert venue looked like to them.
Yeah,
and
it
then
was a very
they
weird...
set it up. It was...
It was, it seemed to be, like, the biggest concert ever, but there were only, like, 14 people in the room.
And they were all 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And for some reason, everybody had, like, neon extensions in their hair.
Yeah.
yeah, that was fucking weird. My good joke for this episode was when...
This is all very relatable to me, so...
my good joke for the episode was when the Big Show says, if the WWE taught me anything... it's always pee before your match. Which, in retrospect, is not a good joke. So, episode 4 is the sinkhole day.
Yep.
I think
it's
that
like
this was...
their version of a snow day.
Yeah, this was one of the best episodes, I think. This was one of the better ones.
Oh, it's the chef one.
So. Yeah, with the cheesy hot dog tots.
Yep.
And then they have, okay, yeah, so why don't we go through it? So Big Show's asked to be on, like, a morning show? What
yep.
are they called?
Yeah, like
morning show?
Like Tampa Today or yeah. like something like that, right?
And he's supposed to be doing, like, a cooking thing,
mm-hmm.
and he invites Lola to come with him, and then the, like, producers end up being like, why doesn't she just, like, bake with you? And then, like, it all goes horribly wrong.
Cause... they have matching aprons that say Big Chef and Little Chef,
which is great.
And
the conflict in this was that the Big Show's hot dog casserole
mm-hmm.
didn't include Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
And so when they went on the show, his daughter tried to include Greek yogurt in the hot dog casserole, but only had hot dogs, tater tots, and chili.
Yeah.
And Big Show didn't want that change.
Mm-hmm.
Because
He just is so deeply connected to the original recipe that he made with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's about his relationship with his daughter.
Exactly. And she's trying to grow as a human being. It tastes better with the Greek yogurt. Guess what? The tater tots burned in the oven. Okay. She's trying to rush through it and tear the hot dogs apart. She pulls out the Greek yogurt. He's now rushed because they only have a minute for the segment. And then guess what? Tater tots burn, blah, 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 blah. And then the tater tots go all over the host of the GD show.
Yeah.
I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
Look, if you're listening to this podcast, you are presumably a wrestling fan. So let's just say that the Big Show is Jim Cornette. And Greek yogurt
is Vince Russo, yeah.
Is a flip.
Okay. This is even better.
Sometimes you gotta grow, you gotta expand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We got the B plot here is that Mandy is behind in the election and she needs some dirt on Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And they called the wolf. who is just like a weird kid with headphones on a hoverboard who vapes, I think.
He has like his hood cinched so tight around his face so you can't see his face at all, and he just hoverboards in.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this character, and all he does, like, they put so much effort into describing like this political saboteur, like gossip guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just zooms in, hands them an envelope, and zooms out. It's perfect.
Yeah. What, JJ goes to Cassie's office, I think?
No way.
In this episode, and then Cassie gets fired.
Yeah, this is actually like pretty intense. So this like is a big Cassie episode. Ends up like lying in order to make a sale. And she comes mm-hmm. by the lie honestly, but like she does end up like withholding information
mm-hmm.
while then, doing a house sale.
Like she didn't disclose that the house that she was selling, the last person had died in that house.
And it was haunted.
And it's haunted. So she goes away. They want to offer $100,000 more than the asking price.
Oh my God.
Then later in the episode, they're back at the office. Cassie is about to fess up. But guess what? This little rat comes in. And he's already disclosed to the buyers
Bennett.
that the house is haunted. And so then she gets fired. Also, this guy named Josh gets fired of the episode.
That was really funny.
That's because Cassie totally throws him under the bus for no reason. I was so pissed at her for doing that.
Yeah.
But also, JJ steals everybody's keys in the episode, which is a pretty funny moment.
That was like not funny. And then the amount of keys that she pulls out of her pocket and puts on the table, and she just keeps... funny. Going, yeah. That got funny. That was actually one of my funny jokes of the episode. I had three funny jokes in this episode. So one of them was the Big Chef Little Chef aprons. One of them was the amount of car keys that JJ pulls out of her pockets. And one of them was so the Big Show and Lola decide to settle their dispute about the Greek yogurt by having a cook-off.
Yeah.
Which I thought the cook-off was like pretty well done. They have like the fucking like duh, 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 judges music and like kind of the MasterChef setup like was cute.
Three rounds and yeah.
And Lola says, "I was born ready." And Big Show says, "You were born 2 weeks premature. You were anything but ready."
Yeah.
And that was a fucking funny joke. That was
pretty good.
Yeah. That was all right. And the episode ends with Taylor Swift, the student in Mandy's class, not the pop singer by the same name.
Swift, I love Taylor Swift.
Yeah. comes to Mandy's house to discuss the sort of dirty tactics in their election, and they end up kissing.
Yeah. It's quite risque.
So that was episode 4. Again, one of the better episodes of The Big Show Show.
so far, so good, I would say.
Yeah. We're halfway there. This is... episode 5, now Lola has a boyfriend. We talked about this already. We got Greg Turbo.
Who, for some reason, when I first wrote down his name, I wrote Frank Jetta.
And Cassie's coping with being fired by making photoshops of their hamster.
It's like the class hamster. Yeah, she's just like spiraling basically and she's doing all kinds of crazy shit throughout the episode. And so the daughters are trying to like help her get over it. Yeah. And Big Show's like, no, she has a process. I know the process. Don't mess with the process.
Yeah.
So that's like that conflict, I guess.
They bring in some dude from Queer Eye. He's far and away the best actor on the show up to this point. Right? He gives her a makeover. And then the Big Show buys her a bench ad, throwing back to ADB All Day Butts from the first episode.
This really annoyed me because basically the way, like, I don't know. I feel like this is a huge, like, he just totally crosses so many boundaries here where he's like, he decides that she should open up her own real estate business and puts her face on a bench without her permission. And he just makes, like, two... huge decisions for her about her life and her career, and he's like, aren't you so happy? And like, it kind of makes up, like, they kind of save it because she's like, no, rip this bench out of the fucking concrete and take it away because this picture isn't right. But like, It was so wild to me that that was the solution.
Like, he felt like the whole episode, like he had the master plan, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, at the end of it, it's like, no, like, you fucked up. Like, this picture looks terrible of me. Please take this out of the ground.
But she does like the idea. Like, mm-hmm. she ends up going with the idea that she should open her own real estate business, which was totally something that he was just like, I've decided this is the answer.
Do you have to apply for, like, a different license for that? Did he, like, do the paperwork to create an LLC?
I would never, ever expect any show to cover that, ever.
Independent contractor.
I want an episode of this sitcom that is, like, Big Show trying to register that business. And then in season two, they're going to have an episode where he's trying to help her file the taxes for owning her own business.
Oh, my God.
Josh, other question here for you, being the internet darling, a man who used to set up internet for our good Canadian troops in the Middle East. Can you use a dollar sign in a URL?
Oh, you sure can.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
Even I know this.
Okay. I wasn't sure because the URL was www. Nope. Whoa. Hold up.
Whoa.
I Kurt Angled there a little bit.
Did you try to visit the website?
Sorry?
Did you try to visit the website?
I did try to visit the website. It does not exist, which is why I was skeptical about there being a dollar sign in it. It was Cassie Sells, spelled $ELLZ.com, which
the
is not a very professional URL, right?
Well, it just adds to the mystique of, you know, the Big Show trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the most proficient in the internet. He probably should have done, like, a .org or a ., you know, .gov or something.
Yeah.
Like
oh, God.
Yeah. CassieSells.biz.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There's a better route for that.
Yeah. Episode 6 is The Cruise / The Party.
This is
the best episode.
Yeah, so Cassie and Big Show are having their anniversary, and so Big Show is like, "Oh, I have to go on this like WWE cruise, so we can do anniversary stuff on my cruise."
Mm-hmm.
And he plans a whole bunch of shit to be like very romantic for her, but it ends up being that like Cassie has an offer on the haunted house that she is now like running this business on her own, so she really needs to make this sale. So she spends a lot of that cruise like trying to work out that sale on the phone while mm-hmm. they're on the cruise, and Big Show's getting upset because all this like romantic like shit that he had planned, like a massage and shrimp and mm-hmm. a band, it's all she misses all of it.
He has to get a couple's massage with Mark Henry.
I think more so than that, he couldn't read the signals, right? In the past, she had every anniversary, she had said that you know, I don't want anything for Christmas. You know, I don't want anything for our anniversary. And she always did want something for Christmas. She always did want something for the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? This time she was seriously busy with her work. And she didn't have time this anniversary to do it. The Big Show didn't pick up on that signal.
Mm-hmm.
No. He was like, I know she wants something. I know I have to plan this out. So Big Show booked the WWE cruise for him and his wife on their anniversary. It's going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be really nice. And guess what? This is the one time she didn't want anything else.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, this is a bigger overarching storyline.
But it is fun because we get some good cameos with Mark Henry comes in and
Mick Foley
comes in.
And for some reason, Rikishi.
Yeah, then Rikishi comes in.
Yeah.
We might as well just cover this all in one. So like,
there's a party going on at the same time while the parents are out of town.
All right. Or we could just not cover it all as one.
Yeah. well, because this storyline sucks, so we can just get this out of the way and then get back to the good stuff. I don't want to build up with the good cruise storyline and then have to talk about this shitty party storyline afterwards.
Okay, I like the party, but okay.
So they
we all like the party, Campbell. So
Lola is party low, but but she keeps it party legal. So there's no underage drinking at this party.
Which is total bullshit. It's Florida.
She's 15. She has an 8-year-old DJ.
DJ PJs.
Yeah.
Which I think JJ. Was the most like Family Channel joke of the entire show. Was just like the smash cut to JJ in Shutter Shades being like, DJ PJ in the house.
Yeah.
That was,
and her storyline is she gets high on candy.
Right. Yeah.
And we should also note that while the parents are gone, they trust the oldest sister to keep an eye on everybody. Mm-hmm. But the oldest sister also happens to be the biggest party girl in Minnesota.
To mm-hmm. be fair to her, though, she doesn't throw the party for herself and because she wants a party. She throws a party to help Mandy because Mandy is being seen as like a nerd and she needs to like win this election. So she needs to be seen as cool. So Lola's like, I'm going to throw you a party and you're going to be cool at this party. And everyone's going to think you're fucking cool for having this party. And so it was a selfless.
She's trying to hide up the fact that she's in a relationship with Taylor Swift this whole time.
Yeah.
But wait, Taylor Swift?
Okay. Good show. But also, there's this social media darling there that's trying to get the scoop on the story the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's an underlying story. So not only is there this party going on, but then Taylor Swift and his crew shows up, and Taylor Swift is in a presidential campaign against the middle daughter,
Mandy.
And so he comes in and he's like, sorry, I was just trying to break up this entire campaign going on. Like, they were going to come here and crash the party. There's this like big time internet scoopist coming in that's trying to be like, oh, I'm trying to get the scoop on what's going on with this story with you dating this guy. Like, I've got my suspicions going on. So I feel like the whole thing is just like, it's bubbling and there's a lid on it. And you know that lid's going to bust off at any time.
Josh, listening to you recap this show is almost as excruciating as watching the show was.
I think I'm nailing it.
But yeah, you're doing a great job. So back to the cruise. Mark Henry and... The Big Show have to get couples massages together. Mark Henry has a really good running bit where he's like, wow, your suite looks really nice. They got me in a suite the size of a broom closet. And there's nothing in it but brooms and mops. That was one of my good jokes for the episode. The other, I must have been
really?
Getting, yeah. I must have been, yeah, I liked the running joke about when he was like, I'm sleeping on 3 buckets. And Big Show's like, you should ask for an upgrade. And Mark Henry says, the buckets were the upgrade. I loved that.
Yeah, you were laughing real hard, and I was kind of like, okay.
I did love that.
here's the other thing is I must have been getting really drunk at this point because my other good joke for this episode just says put a ring on it, and I have no idea what that's referencing. I forgot to say my good jokes for episode 5. One of which just says emergency contact. So again, pretty drunk.
That's funny because it was his gym best friend.
Oh, yeah.
And he
Urkel.
Was talking about, he was like, your daughter's this, your daughter's that. And he was like, I can't remember, but he was like, my daughters are like perfectly respectable people or whatever. And he was like, I know, they're my emergency contacts.
That's pretty good. And then my other good joke for episode 5 was... When
why are you on 5? We're on 6.
Because I forgot to say my ones for episode 5, and I'm going back. I'm circling back. These must be acknowledged.
You're ruining the flow of this episode.
Look,
ruining the flow. What's going on here?
My good joke list is the bald head rating of this episode of the podcast, and must be acknowledged. So there's the Big Show, Mandy, and Greg Turbo go to a pirate-themed escape room.
Yeah.
And the Big Show and Greg Turbo are having, like, their bromance. And Mandy turns to the woman who is the pirate and says, do you see anything wrong here? And the pirate lady says, I don't know, they seem happy.
There's also the joke in that episode where Big Show gets... Big Show gets upset and he like busts down the door and she goes, oh, come on, man. That's like the sixth one this month. There's so many fucking wrestlers who work in Tampa.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't say fucking though.
It was implied fucking.
It would be funnier
if this show was PG-13 and they got one fuck and that's where they used it.
Yeah, just one fuck.
They set up. Big Show has hired a band. We're back on the cruise now.
Just skip it. The fucking thing just ends.
Well, they set up. They have Chekhov's Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is the only thing that matters for the rest of the episode.
I'm sorry, you take it away.
Is that Mark Henry, Mick Foley, and Rikishi do like a really horrible rendition of "I Want It That Way" by the Backstreet Boys, and it's horrible, but also very sweet.
Big Show had this entire night planned out for his wife.
Oh, God.
And the night was, it started off with a couple's massage, and then she had to go away, and then, like, she had to take this call. And then guess what? Mark Henry was in the room, so Big Show's like, yeah, I guess you could take this couple's massage with me.
I hate that you're doing this to me. I hate that you're doing this to me so much.
I'm trying to speed this along, Josh.
The wife comes back in, and then the shrimp cart arrives.
Please,
and then
there's shrimp. Please, if you're listening to this,
crab's legs.
Don't give us a one-star review. Don't unsubscribe
like,
from
us. In between
us.
All of this,
I'm making a plea
like,
to you.
Hired
the Stone Cold Shots universe
to sing "I Want It That Way" because that's their song. And then at the end of the episode, Big Show's like, I'm so sorry for breaking up your calls and blah, 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 blah. And then guess what he has? He has the wrestlers from the episode sing "I Want It That Way" to his wife. And it's the most romantic moment of the entire episode. Anyway, I felt like you guys did that a complete disservice. So go on.
Oh my god.
This side note on this episode as well is like, so they get back, and because the way that they were going to get away with the party is that JJ, who is like a super genius, hacked all of the security cameras in the house so that they wouldn't be able to see that they were having a party. But the Big Show had left behind one championship belt because Cassie said he couldn't bring too many championship belts, and it had a camera on it. And this is the same championship belt that he wore to impress Greg Turbo in the episode beforehand. And neither of these belts is a real WWE belt that has ever existed and was...
Nope.
What? You're really? Wrong.
You're wrong. That's the undisputed title.
What's that?
That's the undisputed WWE title. So, like, once they merge the WCW and the WWE title... That was the title that was created.
So would that have been his first title with WWE?
No, so I think he won the... I don't know if like the tag team championship was before that, but he definitely won that title.
That's cute.
Okay.
Some good wrestling history from a wrestling historian.
I had never seen that title before. I thought it was weird that they were just using the same like obscure title belt.
Brock Lesnar held that title. JBL held that title.
But it's almost like
Cena held that title
in the same way that like in Fighting With My Family, right? Where the Paige movie, mm-hmm. where like she's like, "Oh my life, I've wanted to win the WWE Divas Championship," and it like that like she's watching like wrestling matches as a child, and it's like when she was a child, that title would not have existed. But for, like, the movie and for the branding, they just, like, they kind of, like, fucking rewrote history or whatever to just, like, be like, oh, whatever, it's this belt. It's always been this belt. Don't worry about it. It was weird to me that they used this, like, kind of semi-obscure title that never...
But also, that's the biggest title he ever won.
Okay.
Like, right? Like, because if you feel like he's only won, like, tag team titles and then the WCW title, I feel like that's the biggest one, like... Why would you leave that title behind?
Also, I thought the Undisputed title was just that weird period where everybody had to carry around two belts that Daniel Bryan won at WrestleMania 30. Okay, we can move on.
Before your time, kid.
We've got episode 7, which is where Big Show is doing charity at the gym. Lola's got a friend visiting.
Mandy and T-Swift have to debate against each other.
Right. And
oh my god, what an episode.
Cassie's show is getting into infomercials. This episode
is like bullshit. The only good part of this episode is watching Big Show like fight people.
Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Yeah.
And when he comes out in his outfit with like the top hat and the cape.
Oh my god, yeah. The running joke in this one is that the WWE never got Big Show's vision and they never let him do his own thing and wear what he wanted. So for this episode, he comes out wearing like a sequined cape and a sequined top hat.
Yeah.
Shitty finish is Big Show ended one of his matches with a body slam.
Did we miss the episode where JJ starts going to smart kid school?
No, like it's definitely just like in one of these episodes and we didn't give a fuck and it's fine.
Okay.
We don't need to address everything.
That's a thing that's happening as well.
Oh my god, what a vision.
No. It doesn't matter. It's just JJ is put into AP like advanced classes. That's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at all.
My good joke for episode 7 was during Cassie's infomercial for her new business where she's like, I can sell you any kind of house. And they start listing off all of these different types of bad houses. And one of the houses is a house haunted by Civil War ghosts. And then JJ says, from the wrong side. Which I thought was really funny, but then I realized that they're in Tampa. And then 2 minutes later in the episode, JJ makes a joke about dirty northerners. Are they a pro-Confederate family?
Oh my god.
Does JJ think that the South will rise again is what I'm asking.
Well, there are in Florida.
Yeah.
And she is a genius child.
Yeah. So, Lauren, you were right. This episode's kind of nothing, but Big Show's doing his thing. Lola decides to stay. The debate happens, I guess.
This is an important part. This episode holds one of the only moments where I was genuinely like, that's a good moment, a good beat.
Okay.
So what happens is, I'm not going to let Josh fucking run away with this, but like Mandy and T-Swift have to do a debate against each other. They didn't want to do it because now they're romantically involved,
mm-hmm.
but they're forced to do a debate to like decide the election. They had like discussed what they would talk about and pre-discussed that they were going to agree with what each of them said. So anything that T-Swift said, he's like, I want to enact this. And Mandy was always like, oh, that's a great idea. So it was very boring for the people watching debate. But a really cool thing that happens is T-Swift, in his naivete, decides to like ad-lib and he says something like, I want like, I don't know what it was he wanted.
He wants to replace all the water fountains with Coca-Cola or whatever.
No, I think that was one of the good ideas he had.
The salad bar is going to be a candy bar. Yeah.
Yeah, and candy bar, she's like thrown because she's like, that's not what we discussed, and he's like, oh, I'm like ad-libbing. And so then she is forced to say like, I don't agree with that, and she basically chooses to like stick to her own morals and to publicly shoot down her boyfriend's ideas and not just like give in to him, and he actually breaks up with her publicly because she does this.
Yep.
Because he's a shitty kid. And then, like, at the end, when she's, like, really sad on the roof and Lola and the mom go to comfort her on the roof, they, like, mm-hmm. congratulate her for being, like, a strong, independent woman and for not belittling herself in order to stay on good terms with her man.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a cool fucking message to have in the show, and I was so happy about that.
Tell you what, I bet that Taylor Swift kid's gonna write a song about that breakup, though.
No, but like so when he said, you're coming against me right now,
mm-hmm.
he said, I'm breaking up with you and we are never, ever getting back together.
Fuck, it's so good.
Yeah.
It was so good. And the teacher was like, well, he nailed the landing.
Also, can we talk about, like, why? So the debate teacher should have just been the gym teacher, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah, why introduce this?
It was so weird to introduce another character who was basically the same. Like this has that, like, kid sitcom show logic of, like, all of the adults are pathetic morons.
Yeah, it might as well just be. That's like in Vampire Diaries, they never, like, pretended that there was any other teacher other than the one teacher who was involved in all of their shit.
Like, just like in the Vampire Diaries.
Exactly. You don't need to know about the other teachers.
Yeah. Like Armin Shimmerman in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I feel like Buffy had a couple of teachers and they all died.
Got replaced by Armin Shimmerman.
No, he was the principal.
Whatever.
But he did replace a dead principal.
I love Quark. Big Show is at the gym, and this episode ends with him saying that he's going to come back to WWE.
Oh yeah, that was the big, like, bomb he drops on his women.
Mm-hmm.
I also just want to bring it up before we move away that in this episode, Big Show reveals that his mom calls him Polly Pocket on Instagram.
Yeah, because his name is Paul.
Yeah, I love that, Polly Pocket. That's so cute.
That was cute.
Very cute.
And then we have episode 8, our finale, our main event.
The Big Show
show, if you will.
I was clearly so smashed. I don't remember any of this, but I wrote down, it's a Christmas Carol where Big Show sees what would be if he weren't there for his family.
Yeah, Jaleel White, Ghost of Christmas, presents him.
In
a pretty fucking dope white Adidas tracksuit, if I gotta be honest here. Because the Big Show wants to go back on the road, and his friend Terry shows him what it would be like after my good joke of the episode, which was the Big Show taking an unprotected chair shot to the head.
Well, like, the build up to that is, like, Big Show's ready to go back out on the road, right?
Yeah.
And then he's trying to make it up to his family. He's like, okay, well, let's have one great weekend. I can do whatever you want. I can do the laundry. I can do the dishes. And then he tries to make it up to him. Like, the day of he's leaving, he's like, oh, here's this big Sunday bar for everybody to enjoy.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. So, and then his family's enjoying it. And then his wife's like, well, who's going to clean this up? You know, who's going to take care of the girls now?
Mm-hmm. She's like, so basically you're leaving me with, like, three coked up, like, sugar high girls and a huge mess with, like, a bajillion dishes. And mm-hmm. he's like, yup, bye.
And his oldest daughter is trying to go through driving school.
Mm-hmm. With the coach.
She's thinking that, like, her dad's going to be there to, like, do driving school with her.
Mm-hmm.
But instead she has to deal with this, like, you know, jacked up gym teacher. Who's the worst?
Yeah, he's, like, super unprofessional and, like, is calling his ex-girlfriend or something in the car.
That actor was the most, like, budget Charlie Day.
That's my joke.
Yeah, but you weren't telling it.
Yeah, but still, you can't just take credit like that.
And then you know, the Big Show is, like, in the kitchen with the sundaes and everything on the table. And then he gets the call, it's like, oh, the driver's outside. And then he goes to the car, goes to Florida, goes to the performance center, and then he gets hit in the head with a steel chair.
Yeah.
That's the first headshot I've seen in 15 years in the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, Cody Rhodes, take a back seat, pal.
Straight up, I don't remember any of that happening.
It's so funny, he's like, this bit was actually great. He's like, oh, I've taken thousands of chair shots in my day. Of course I'm ready. And then I think he, like, gets a text or something and, like, looks away and gets domed and passes out and has this Christmas Carol dream where he sees that, like, Lola never moved to Tampa and Mandy never ran for school president and, like...
And she's, like, subservient to her boyfriend. Yeah. She's writing his speeches for him.
And JJ never went to smart kid school and that, like, everybody... His family's life is better with him in it.
Yeah.
And he decides to come back and then the kids wrestle him.
Yeah, they have a great family wrestling match.
Oh, yeah.
This match was terribly booked.
I love it.
It was a little overbooked, you know.
The fucking JJ comes out to a dubbed version of her singing over the Big Show's theme.
She's
wearing a bald cap and a little like singlet, and she's got a little painted goatee on, and it's so cute.
She honestly
heel turn on him.
Yeah, she does heel turn. JJ dresses the Big Show looks like what I looked like when I dressed as Stone Cold Steve Austin for Halloween a few years ago.
Or like when I dressed up as The Rock, like a couple years before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my big problem with this match is that Big Show could have kicked both of their asses really easily. And like, I wasn't buying it. You know, it just like, give me the believability. Like, give me like, you know, like,
they didn't really like sell the moves, you know?
I think in Fatal 4-Way rules, Lola probably could have used that hockey stick and there wouldn't have been any disqualification for a foreign object.
That's true.
Absolutely. I'm like, why would you throw your gloves off? Why would you get rid of that hockey stick? Again, well, terribly booked match.
Here's the thing. Dropping the gloves is a very classic thing for a hockey fight.
That's displaying she's ready to fight.
Yeah. That's, you know.
If I know one thing about hockey.
Yeah, that was some classic Domi. My other good joke for this episode was when he says, hey, choke slams paid for this house.
this three-bedroom house.
This house with not enough bedrooms for all of my children from my various marriages.
And that's the end.
That's it.
The end, folks. You made it.
Yeah.
You made it. We made it.
We usually like to close things off here with a little high spot and a botched spot.
Oh, Jesus.
Some honorable mentions to something that we really liked about the show and something that we didn't really like about the show. You guys seem ill-prepared for this, despite the fact that we've been doing this fucking podcast for a year.
But, like, for shotguns, the rules are all different. And also, this is not a goddamn wrestling match. It's just a shitty show.
Well, when you figure your life out, while you figure your life out, I'll give my high spot and my botch spot. I told you I'm the heel host. I'm feeling sassy today. So my high spot was in the first episode when the Big Show goes to school to talk to the coach. He has like a pamphlet or something in his pocket, and I can only assume that it was the script for that episode. Like, he's just, it's just like, it looks like a rolled up script in his pocket that is clearly on camera. And my botch spot was that the theme song for this show didn't go, well, it's the Big Show show. It's the Big Show show tonight.
Yeah, it's like a 20-second like upbeat music clip. It's
just, it starts like, with a wrestling bell. Yeah,
like just bullshit. Like, I remember at one point I was doing a puppet show at work, and I looked up like wordless children's music to like use as like fade in and fade out music for my puppet show, and this was that.
Yeah,
like they just found it on YouTube. They didn't even pay for it, I'm sure.
Probably not.
Did you do both your spots?
Yes.
Okay. My botch spot, I haven't quite okay, so I'm just gonna decide that my botch spot, oh yeah, this really irritated me. So when they're doing the cook show, the cooking cook-off in their house.
Well, it's the cook show.
The one in their house with Lola versus Big Show. They're in the kitchen having, like, this huge, like, argument. And it ends up being, like, Lola sprays him in the face with whipped cream. And he ends up pieing her in the face by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, like, a nice heart-to-heart. But she had opened the fridge to get the whipped cream out, and he was across the room with the pie. And then they pie each other, and then they have, like, a sit-down 20-minute conversation about their feelings. Mm-hmm. And she just leaves that fridge open the whole time.
That is not food safe, Lola.
Yeah, so that's my botch spot. And my high spot is the lady strength, where like Mandy doesn't give up her morals to like make herself small for T-Swift and
for Taylor Swift.
Okay, and she like puts the button on that like really empowering moment and says the real scandal is how stylish I'll look when she comes out of this like depression. And it's like perfect. It was perfect for me. She's talking about like wearing a jumpsuit and being super stylish.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
My high spot was 100% Mick Foley, Rikishi, and Mark Henry singing I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, because clearly nobody was prepared to sing that song. Rikishi was completely off.
They were all completely off.
Hearing Mick Foley trying to do the iconic tell me why, he goes, the way he does it is he goes like, tell me why. And it's like, dude, you fucking missed the point of that.
Yeah.
And Rikishi, like it just was going for the high notes.
Yeah.
I loved it so much.
That whole bit was definitely like, the writer's room was like, oh, that Brooklyn Nine-Nine cold open went viral. We could do that.
Totally.
And then they couldn't think of a different song to do it with, so they just used the same song.
Totally. You could call.
And what was your botch spot?
Oh, botch spot was the last match of the night. My God. You know,
the family
Big,
fight?
Big Show could have hit both of his kids with the weapon of mass destruction, just one punch. Got him out of there.
He should have done a moonsault on JJ.
Yeah, well, and that used to be his move back in WCW. And yep. Like, honest to God, like, it just makes me sick that the Big Show is so disgusting now. He's so out of shape. he can't even punch his kids in the mouth. It just makes me sick. Yeah, that's 100% my botch spot of the night.
I was
one bald head that match.
At the end of episode 7, again, I was pretty fucking drunk while we were watching this, especially by this point. But at the end of episode 7, when he was like, I'm coming back to WWE, I was really hoping that episode 8 would just be his Raw after WrestleMania match against Drew McIntyre. Like, if it just fucking smash cut to that. Then that was the finale of the show.
Yeah, maybe the girls are like in the stands. The only ones in the stands going like, yay!
Yeah. yeah, that was our little shotgun episode on the Big Show show.
Please don't unfollow us.
Yeah, we watched it, so you don't have to.
Please don't watch it.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe, you know, like while we're all stuck at home right now, we'll maybe do some more like goofy kind of like wrestling adjacent, some like WWE Studios movies or something. Could be kind of fun.
Can't get much worse from here, right?
But this episode was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, more like, I don't think any of the WWE released films are ever this bad as this show was.
Well, I haven't seen the main event yet.
It was better than this.
The main event was more enjoyable than this.
The main event
knew what show or like what movie it was.
Yeah.
And like had a bunch of like fun cameos with like Keith Lee and like
Otis Dozovich.
Yeah, and Rick Boogs, and my fucking dude. And it also like the main event is hilarious in and of itself because it's like a group of people got together to like write a children's movie. And then Vince McMahon took that script and put WWE branding into every single line of dialogue. And it's like, that's hilarious to watch just in and of itself. Anyway, yeah, if you want to hit us up on facebook.com/stonecoldshots or Instagram @stonecoldshots, you know, we'd love to hear some recommendations for other stuff to watch. Things that you want to hear us clown on.
Totally. Leave us a rating and review on your podcasting app of choice. Give us those 5 bald heads. Show us you really care.
Enough, we need 5.
Yeah. Stay healthy. We'll see you next time.